Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
I want to know what Vegas is like during this week.
Well, let's just ask Todd Furman, because he joins us now. Todd, welcome in, my friend.
What's going on, guys? How are things in lovely Nashville?
Probably not as exciting as they are where you are, if I had to guess.
What's it like there?
It's highly debatable. I'm looking outside. There's no sunshine. There's a bunch of clouds in the sky. I mean, not exactly the weather we expect in Vegas this time of year.
Yeah, but who cares? Everybody's inside, yeah, placing their bets, getting ready to watch ball, right?
I mean, Don, let's not kid ourselves. This is pool season. Everyone's supposed to be out there with SPF 8 trying to turn themselves into a golden brown, getting themselves ready for 2 days inside the casino to take in all the basketball over the first 48 hours of madness.
Did I see that, like, the American Gaming Association, the number was this brings in, like, 40% more handle March Madness does than the Super Bowl? Is that close, correct?
Yep, that's an accurate assessment. When you look at it, they're saying because given the volume of games. I mean, keep in mind, Mickey, when you look at the Super Bowl, it's one game, albeit one with a myriad of prop bets that are available, much different than the NCAA tournament, where you're going to see 48 games essentially take place from Thursday to Sunday. You throw in the final 4 week in the Sweet 16. But the majority of the business that'll be conducted out here in the casinos in the desert, now other legal jurisdictions across the country, are going to happen during Thursday and Friday, where people become enamored with the Belmonts of the world, the Northern Kentucky, and the Ionas, teams that they could care less about 364 other days of the year.
All right, you mentioned Belmont. They get their first, and I know the asterisk, but their first NCAA tournament win. Now it's against Maryland. What does that game look like?
Now, there's no asterisk on that game. A win is a win is a win. And if the NCAA tournament wants to recognize that, then so they should. Belmont's a three and a half point underdog against Maryland. Interesting matchup, though, because you look at Belmont, and they push the tempo and pace and can score with the best teams in the country, while Maryland is built on twin towers in the middle. Bruno Fernando wants to try and control the paint, but I have a lot of questions about Maryland's guard play. And as you guys know all too well, guards make the difference this time of year. I think it's an excellent matchup for Belmont if they're playing with momentum. I just don't like the quick turnaround. Would have preferred to see them play a little bit later in the day on Thursday instead of the second time slot coming out of the gate.
What do you think about Tennessee, Todd? There seem to be people who love them and then others who maybe don't think this is going to get as far as Vol fans would like to see it go.
Well, I'm not sure that this is going to be a Vol team that's able to cut down the nets. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you look at some of their defensive efficiency numbers. Outside the top 30, they don't check the right boxes for me to even get them to Minneapolis as a member in the Final Four. And while it's not going to be popular opinion because I know what he's done to resurrect the program when they went through a little bit of a down period, I don't trust Rick Barnes' track record to win big games in March. I thought Tennessee was ill-prepared for the conference championship against Auburn. It had looked like they won their Super Bowl the game before against Kentucky, and you wonder what kind of residual impact that could have on the Vols as early as the second round when they take on the winner of Iowa-Cincinnati.
Wow.
Speaking of Dawn's Auburn team, a 5 seed, does that seem right to you?
And send them out west?
Yeah.
How wrong is that?
Well, Dawn, you know the key for Auburn is making shots from the outside. They're merely a 500 basketball team this year when they make less than 35% of their threes. And you have to wonder, can they carry some of that momentum forward from the SEC Conference Tournament, their first win since 1985? And it's what will Brown do for you? Will he go 0 for 10 from the outside, or will he start white hot? But I think New Mexico State, they control their offensive and defensive glass. I think Chris Jans, their head coach, is a little bit better X's and O's than Bruce Pearl. I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn is in for the fight of their lives just to make it to the round of 32.
Weakest side of the bracket, which one is it?
For me, I think the most wide open is going to be the entire South. I mean, you look at Virginia as the 1 seed, some major question marks in their entire pod there. So I think that works in Tennessee's favor. But for me, a lot of question marks about which one of those teams will rise to the occasion and be able to take things over and get to Minneapolis for a chance to win it all.
Todd Furman, our guest at Todd Furman on Twitter, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. When you look at just overall, Todd, in all four regions, it seems real chalky if you really start trying to put yourself down for some Sweet 16 or Elite 8 teams. Once you get down to the nitty-gritty, it seems super chalky to me this year.
Well, I think it's always the case, Mickey. It becomes very easy when you look at the Big East and you look at, not the Big East, excuse me, you look at the ACC and the Big Ten, and you try and figure out how those blue bloods are going to fare in the biggest games. You want to try and pencil them into the next round and think that they're able to do what we all expect them to do with the pedigree and the strength of recruiting base. But in reality, I think you look at some of the lesser teams in the power conferences, like a Florida State or Virginia Tech, that we know are battle-tested. We know have the athletes. Those are the kind of teams I think are more than capable of pulling off the upsets, making deep runs, maybe to the Elite Eight or even deeper to the Final Four, if things break the right way.
Speaking of the Final Four, who have you got going to the Final Four? Who have you got winning that? And who have you got winning it all, Todd?
For me, I'll probably end up with egg on my face taking Virginia to win the whole thing. But I picked them last year. I'm going to stay with them this year. I think this is a team built on offensive and defensive efficiency that puts them in an elite class. I'm going to take Virginia Tech in a bit of an upset to get out of their region. I think they ultimately play Michigan State in the Elite Eight, and I've looked for a team that checks the boxes you need to beat Duke. I'm going to take Florida State out of the West. I think from an athlete standpoint, they're able to punk Gonzaga, should that be the matchup in the round of 16. And I think we see two blue bloods in the Elite between North Carolina and Kentucky. For me, half my brackets have UNC, the other half have Kentucky moving forward.
Wow. Interesting. Does these...
You know, we like to think outside the box a little bit. You can't take all the favorites. Sometimes you have to employ a little bit of game theory and try and get creative for the teams that you see advancing.
The Duke, obviously the favorite to win it all. How much would that have changed with no Zion?
If you had no Zion in the mix, Don, you're talking about Duke going from about a 2-1 favorite. For me, I would have taken them out to 7-2. They still have other playmakers more than capable of putting them on their back. But it really is a game changer, especially for a Duke side that struggles to make the perimeter jumper. I mean, if Duke were to win the national championship, their field goal percentage this year from beyond the arc would be historically low. I ultimately think that becomes their undoing if teams are able to at least neutralize Zion. And when I say neutralize, I mean hold them to 20 and 10.
Todd, we know you got to go. Maybe a quick Cinderella on the way out to get out of the first weekend, let's say.
You know what? I think when you're looking for some of the smart kids and the way they play basketball, I would take a look at Yale. I think they have an excellent opportunity to beat an LSU team that, when pushed, may be looking for that familiar voice they're not going to have on the sidelines. And honestly, I think Belmont getting a little bit of that momentum and their ability to score, and you look at Winderly, an NBA caliber perimeter shooter, I think Belmont has an excellent chance to maybe wear that Cinderella card and move on to the 316 as well.
Todd, thanks so much, brother. Have a good next couple of weeks out there.
Always appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the game.
Yes, sir. Todd Furman off to do his TV show. And we're here to do radio. Interesting. Virginia. Do you trust Virginia?
No.
I don't either.
How do you trust a team that was the first? I know it's a different year.
I know.
I get it. The first one to ever lose to a 16 seed, right?
Virginia was the team that I thought would win it all last year.
Me too.
I thought they would win. It seemed set up perfectly for them.
Does that play? I mean, you've got similar kids on the roster. You know, some of the roster is the same. Does that play in if all of a sudden they're struggling or they're down or they're, you know, not playing their best ball? I mean, does that creep in? Like, God, remember what happened last year? We can lose to anybody.
Anybody.
Anybody. I don't know. I was surprised Furman said the South he thought was the weakest.
Yeah.
Because just looking at it, I think
Virginia
I would go the West.
All. Yes.
Which makes sense because, hey, he thinks the South's the weakest and that Virginia
they get out of
it
untested.
Through.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Virginia Tech over Duke thing. How about that?
It's a lot of people that like Virginia Tech.
I know that they beat Duke already this year, but that's a big jump.
Yeah, I think he's maybe talking about his heart. Maybe that was his heart bracket instead of his head bracket.